Started at Otway, Northwest London, Thursday, 26th of Elul, 22nd of September. Dine Yeshua Posen Schlitter, Prusbul, Part 3. This week's Torah was sponsored on the 7th outside of Mr. Alex Halberstadt, Zechoron Levrocha, the Nishmas Rabbi Huda Menachem, Rav Aaron, Yosef Akern, Zechoron Levrocha, a much loved participant and supporter of Torah.
There's not going to be a part four because we've run out of time. So in 7 years' time in Yerushalayim, whatever we haven't yet covered, we can learn then. There is actually a part four. It's not true. There is a part four, but I'm not giving it. But there is a part four. There's a children of Moshe that one can give after Shemitah. What happens to someone who doesn't write a puzzle? Can he still be Gover the Chov? It's not a shir that we give before Rosh Hashanah because there's a worry that then people might not write puzzles. But Akaponim, where we're up to, is we've discussed in the first shiur, Halachos of Shmita's Karaka, the fact that this coming Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Hashem, a few days' time, nowadays it's only Midrabanan, when it used to be Minatera, that either the last minute of this Rosh Hashanah, the last minute of this year, or the first minute after Rosh Hashanah begins, all chovos which are owed as a result of a loan, or as a result of rent which was outstanding, or purchases which had happened in a shop, or wages which are outstanding and have been zokfa lov b'milva, machlekes how to learn, but let's keep it simple. If they've been invoiced, if they've been charged, then at that stage it's converted to a debt which is comparable to the debt of a halva, and Shmita will affect those outstanding chovos. Minatera, there'd be a issur deraisa to claim those chovos, and there'd be a mitzvah deraisa to say meshamat ani bach. Whether that means you're actually wiping out the chovah, whether it gets wiped out automatically, we've already covered. And we saw last year that Hillel Azokin came along in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, and you saw that people were being over on a third halacha deraisa, which was ishamalacha, a lava of refraining from lending money because you're worried about Shmita, and people were concerned that if they would lend, the chovos would get wiped out. Therefore, Omad v'tikin prusbul, Hillel was masakin the concept of prusbul, and that is what those who haven't yet done are encouraged to do in the next coming days. Now, prusbul, I think we spelled out in the last year already that Betzim, the Machlekes Mechaber Amor, Mechaber brings down that a Prusbul should be carried out in front of a Bezin, Choshuv, Hamamunah, Tzibur Aleim, that the Tzibur have appointed them. So whether that would be a Kehillah Bezin or whether some shuls make their own Bezin under the authority of the Rav, and that's so to speak seen as a Bezin that the Tzibur have appointed. And Ramor learns that no, it's okay, any Bezin, any three people, you can have Hataras Nadarim and Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you can straight after that you're standing in front of three people. If you have the right Loshen and can say Misrani Lachem, I'm handing over to the Bezin, etc., etc., and the three Dayonim, the three people who are sitting there, can sign. And there are more Paskins, the Yesh Lahakov is Banazeh. There are those who argue there are more. And again, if people feel that they're not going to be able to attend these public prusbul writing sessions of different bati dinim, then definitely better that they should do a prusbul in front of any three people rather than not do a prusbul at all. Now, a number of last-minute ha'oras, so to speak. So first of all, the halacha is that a prusbul, as opposed to a regular shtar chayiv, a prusbul which is muktim, a prusbul which is predated from the date when it really happens, is kosher. And a prusbul which is post-dated is possible. Now this is actually the contrary to what normally happens by a shtar chayv. A shtar chayv, which is muktim, is normally possible because if it's muktim, then potentially you'll be able to claim a property which might have been sold prior to the lending, right? But you'll be able to backdate the debt as if the debt was there before the person borrowing the money had that property, and therefore the shibud that it falls, the lien which falls on the person, would fall on that property as well. And therefore mukdam by shtar chayv is possible, mu'ucha is kosher, because on the contrary, if you write it later, then you actually might be making yourself have less rights and benefits than you should really have, so it's not a problem. With a prosbul, it's the other way around. With a prosbul, the concept of prosbul is you're handing over to Beis Din the outstanding shtaros, so to speak. You don't physically hand them over, that would be Moshe Shoyes of the Beis Din, but you're writing a prosbul, it's as if you're handing over, that's what you're saying, Misrani Lachem Beis Din, I'm handing over all debts that I have, meaning all debts that are people who owe me. Right? When a person writes a prosbul, they're writing a prosbul because money is owed to them, not because they owe money. Right? If they owe money, then it's the person they owe it to who has to write the prosbul. But you're writing all debts which are owed to me, I'm handing over to Beis Din. Which means you can only hand over to Beis Din the debts which you have at the time. If there's a debt which doesn't yet exist at the time when you're writing the prosbul, you can't hand it over to Beis Din. So here's where people have to be careful. If people attended any of the public prosbul options till now, and then subsequently they lend somebody money, and that money is due before Rosh Hashanah, then they won't be covered by the prosbul. In fact, I think it's the Ben Ish Chai who says that because there is an inyan that Shmitas Ksofim is meant to work midrabbonon, so after a person's written his prosbul, etc., there might be an inyan to lend someone a pound and not write any prosbul on it, and let Shmita come along and wipe out that chayv, and then you'd be Mekayim Shmita Drabbonon. We find a similar concept by Yerusha Deiraisa, so that even when we write a tzavor with a shtar chatzizoch, as we've discussed in the past, where things are given to the daughters as well as the sons, there's something which you're meant to leave to let Yerusha Deiraisa. There's Yerusha Deiraisa, here it's Shmita Drabbonon, it's not quite the same, but a similar concept which we find.
Sometimes you use the word debt, sometimes you use the word loans.
Right.
The same thing?
So very good. So a debt is any money owed, not necessarily any money owed as a result of a loan. Shmita will affect any money owed as a result of a loan, and any money owed as a result of anything else once you've called it in. So in other words, if a person does you work and they haven't yet invoiced you, right, then they could well be that Shmita won't affect that, because since he hasn't invoiced it, what the Mishnah calls Zokva Lokum Mover, and at such a stage, therefore that's not included in loans, right? But the Mishnah says that the moment you invoice someone, you're basically like converting it to a loan. We would say debt, but debt's the wrong word, because debt would apply even beforehand, potentially.
What about rent?
Rent, the same thing. Once it's been invoiced, then it's a loan. Then it's Zokva Lokum Mover.
If you don't invoice it, rent, it comes in.
They might pay it on time. So there's a shaila. If a person's got a contract, and the contract says on the 1st of the month or 20th of the month, you have to pay, is that, for all intents and purposes, a default invoice? Right? Is that you've been billed up front, that when it comes to 20th, you have to pay? Could be. So there'll be a mockum to make sure one is written. There's, in one of the sessions that we had, somebody came to write a prosbul. And at the end of the prosbul, it was one of the earlier sessions, and I warned him that someone who I know might well have a loan between the session and Rosh Hashanah, might well lend money. And I said to him, just by the way, remember that the prosbul only covers you on all debts to date. So he said to me, so I have to make sure I don't lend any money between now and Rosh Hashanah. Which I said, no, actually if you do that, you're even a lav. Right? Because that's the reason why Hillel was Masakan Prosbul. Let's just be clear, as we covered in the last few shurim, Prosbul Bizman Azeb, Ifrat in Chutzlaritz, Shmita Pstofen Bizman Azeb in Chutzlaritz, is a big debate if it even applies. If it applies, how Mekil, etc. We're dealing at best with Drabonons, maybe not even Drabonons. It's a minig which we do, and we should all do it, right? But in the grand scheme of things, what we don't want to do is do it at the expense that then potentially someone comes along and doesn't lend because, I've written my prosbul already, I'm not going to lend money now because of Shmita. That would be that would be counterproductive, because that's mamish the love which Hillel was coming to avoid. The answer is, instead, you can lend money now. You've written your prosbul, you can lend money, but make sure the Zman Piron is after Rosh Hashanah, which in any case, the default is Zman Piron, somehow Rosh Hashanah. So anyone you lend now to, in any case, Minastam, unless you stipulate otherwise, won't have to pay back for 30 days, so you'll be okay. But as you said, the prosbul, Shmita will only affect chovos which are already outstanding now. Debts which are not yet due to be repaid. The moshel, if a person has a 10-year loan, which he doesn't have to pay anything back. After 10 years, there'll always be, by definition, a shmitah that falls in the middle, and that shmitah is irrelevant to it because it's not yet due. So it's only on chovos which are already due. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, Oybach, in Mincha Shlomo, has a very interesting chakira. Now, before we get to that chakira, we have to do a little bit of groundwork. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is a very interesting halacha, which says that if money is owed by Yid to a goy, and the goy sells the chov to a Yid, to another Yid. So Reuven owns a goy money, and the goy sells the chov to Shimon. So Shimon is now the Baal chov, the person who the money is owed to. Does he have to write a prosbul? And the Shulchan Aruch brings down, he doesn't, unless certain things happen. And the Tumim brings a raya from here, that what would happen if you have a cotton? If you hold that a cotton doesn't have to write a prosbul, which itself is a matter of machlekas, if you hold that a cotton wouldn't have to write a prosbul, so if a cotton became bar mitzvah before Rosh Hashanah, and now wants to know, does he have to write a prosbul? So, says the Tumim, since the Chayv, when the Chayv began, he was a cotton who wasn't in the parasha of Shmitas Ksafim. The same way as we find in the halacha by the Goy, that if the Goy, when the Chayv began, it was led by a Goy, which is not in the parasha of Shmitas Ksafim. So therefore, even though before Rosh Hashanah, it's actually owned by a Yid who's a Gadol, there's no reason it shouldn't apply, but we say it doesn't apply, because we go after the origin of the Chayv. So too could be that even though now this child is a Gadol, and therefore as a Gadol you'd think that before Rosh Hashanah he's no different than any other Gadol, but because when he lent the money he was a cotton, could be it doesn't apply. Ask Rav Shlomo Zalman the following shayla. We've learned through the whole sugya now extensively, and we understand that Shmitas Ksofim nowadays is only Drabonon, because Shmitas Ksofim there's a Gzeri Shoah between Shmitas Ksofim and Shmitas Karka, and only when Shmitas Karka applies Deraisa, Shmitas Ksofim applies Deraisa, and we know that Shmitas Karka doesn't apply Deraisa when Klal Yisrael don't have the mitzvah of Yovel, and we don't have the mitzvah of Yovel until we're even Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. Ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, what happens if, Mitz Hashem, in a few hours' time, Moshiach comes, and let's say we all go, I'll come for Nishorim to Eretz Yisrael. I don't even think you'll need all of us to go to tip the balance from where it is at the moment to be Rav Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. We won't even need necessarily that many. And all of a sudden we start keeping Yovel, and all of a sudden therefore Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksofen become Deiraisa. Ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, what will happen this year? What will happen this year to those Chovos that Shmitas coming along to be Meshamot? Will we say that since now, when Rosh Hashanah falls, Shmitas Ksofim is Deiraisa, it will be Deiraisa on those Chovos? Or will we say that no, since when those monies were lent, there was no such thing as Shmitas Ksofim Deiraisa, the same way as a cotton has no Chi of Mitzvahs at that time when he lends the money, so therefore now, even though now when Rosh Hashanah falls, there is such a thing as Shmitas Ksofim Deiraisa. In other words, if someone would lend a pound for an hour after Moshiach comes, right, before Rosh Hashanah, then that would be Shmitas Ksofim Deraisa. But the Chovos which predated Moshiach coming, would we say that since when they began, there was no Shmitas Ksofim Deraisa, therefore it will only be Drabonon?
Not the same thing.
Then, one second, then he goes one step further. Now listen to this. Then he says we may be caught in a catch-22 situation. Because if that presumption is correct, and he stays with the Sofik, right, so it's another thing to add to the list of what Leonovi is going to have to answer for us. If that would be correct, that it will not be Deraisa because when the Chayv began it wasn't Deraisa, what will happen this year? Will we have to write a prosbul? So those of you who have written it already, okay, but the rest who haven't yet written, will we have to write a prosbul? If Moshiach comes today, will you have to write a prosbul tomorrow or Sunday? Why? What's the kasha? Because the only reason you have to write a prosbul is because of Shmitas Ksofim Drabonon. Why did Chazal make the din of Shmitas Ksofim Drabonon? To remind us of the Deraisa, so we shouldn't forget the din Deraisa. But once Mashiach has come, we don't need a Drabonon to remind us of a Deraisa. Right? Because where do we find a similar concept? A similar concept is found as follows. We mentioned in the first year the halacha of the Yireim. The Yireim holds that the mitzvah meshama tanibach, to wipe out the chov, is something which the malva has to himself do. It doesn't happen automatically. He doesn't hold afkata to malka. He doesn't hold like Rav Yigdal Cohen in the motcha. He holds the chiv is on the malva to wipe out the chov. And if the malva doesn't wipe out the chov, it doesn't get wiped out. It doesn't get wiped out. The malva's got to wipe out the chov. That's the mitzvah meshama tanibach. Says Rechaim Kanievsky, Obazoi, if like the Urim, then Nechaira, a cotton, who's still a cotton, Rosh Hashanah, keep it simple, can't be Misham al Achim, because he can't say Misham al Nimoch, because a cotton can't be Moichel. So if you hold Afgata de Malka, if you hold that the Torah wipes it out, we don't need a cotton to do anything. There's a Chayv outstanding from a cotton, the Torah will wipe it out. But if you hold that you need the Malva, the one who has to wipe out the Chayv, a cotton, Laba Machila, he can't wipe it out. Says Ruchai Kanievsky, maybe there's a mitzvah chinuch for him to say Misham Anibach. He's not really doing anything. Right? It's similar to first day Sukkos, if he shakes your arba minimum, you're not giving it to him, separate shayla. But he can't really do it, but maybe there's a mitzvah to go through the motions, and maybe there's an iss on him to say, to ask for the chayv. But be'etzim, in principle, the chayv is outstanding. So it'd be interesting shayla, according to the Urim, who pashas we don't pass like. But according to the Urim, what would happen if that cotton doesn't write a prosbul? Like most don't, and he doesn't wipe out the chayv, and now he becomes a gadol after Rosh Hashanah. After Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's come, Rosh Hashanah's gone, according to the Urim, it's done nothing. It's made mitzvahs, it's made halachas, but it's done nothing. And now this child becomes a gadol. Even according to Chaim Kanievsky, when he was a cotton, maybe there was a mitzvah's chinuch for him to say Meshama Tanibach. But that was just chinuch. Now that he's a gadol, do you ever find a musig of mitzvah schinuch? Yes, there might be an inyan on parents to still educate and be mechanech their children beyond bar mitzvah and beyond chasna and who knows what. But etzem, dinei chinuch, the halachas of chinuch, which apply to a cotton, you never find such halachas applied to a godel. So this child, when he now becomes a godel, would we find ourselves in a situation, which is ironic, that a minute ago as a cotton, he wasn't allowed to say, to ask for the chayv, and if he would have met the lover, he would have had to say midin chinuch, maybe chaim is masupuk, maybe mashamatani bach. But now that he's a gadol, there's no din chinuch on him anymore. He hasn't got these mitzvahs chinuch. He's got whatever's minatoyu is minatoyu, whatever's not minatoyu is not minatoyu. Avad chazal make a drabonon, he has to keep a drabonon, but the chinuch aspect he pashtus doesn't have. So would he now be allowed to collect the chayv? Right, shayla. I don't know the answer, but here's a similar shayla which Shlomo Zalman is asking on all of us. If Mashiach comes today, those chovas which are outstanding, since they began before Shmita was Deiraisa,
no problem.
Could be that they're still Jabonon and not Deiraisa. And then Nachtati, you catch it both ways. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, is Shmita Jabonon going to be Misham with these chovas? Why should Shmita Jabonon do anything on chovas once Shmita begins Deiraisa? So it could be you have this ironical situation that a minute ago you weren't allowed to click the screen, you had to write a puzzle, Moshiach comes and now you don't have to do anything. Because there's now Shmita Deraisa. Sounds funny, but you understand? It gets caught between the two.
I would say it's not the same thing. Then money to a cotton is always a cotton. Then money to a goy is always a goy. Then money to a yid is always a possibility of Mashiach coming.
But when you lend money to a cotton,
it's built in.
But when you lend money to a cotton, it's even more than Mashiach, because you know he's going to become a gadol.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference. You lent it to a cotton, nothing's going to change.
But you know it is going to change. He's going to become a gadol.
Yeah, but you lent it to a cotton, so you...
But again, I don't understand. It's more certain when you lend to a cotton that he's going to become a gadol than when you lend to a yid, Mashiach's going to come before he pays back the chayv.
The origin of the loan was he was a cotton. But if you lend money to a yid, the possibility is from day one, point one, that the Mashiach might come.
But why don't you recognize there's a possibility this cotton is going to become a gogol? That's normal tefah.
Because it doesn't make any difference.
It does, that's the point. It does make a difference.
I don't think it does.
If he becomes a gogol, it makes a difference. There'll be dinei shmita.
He was a goy when you lent it.
I understand. If you lend money to a cotton, when he becomes a gogol, he'll have dinei shmita. You know this person, it's not lend money to a cotton. It's a cotton who lends money, just
cotton
to be clear.
Lends money.
Yeah? But you know that he, as the malva, is going to become a gogol and have mitzvah shmita. Okay, I'm gonna move on.
The origin of the loan. I'm going to.
Okay.
The beginning of the loan.
We mentioned that. But Etzem, even though when you write a prosbul, you'll take away a prosbul with you, the halacha is, if a person walks into Bezdin after Rosh Hashanah and he's owed money, and the lover says, "Have you written a prosbul?" and the malva says, "Yes, I've written a prosbul," he's nemal to say he wrote a prosbul. So if you do lose your prosbul, nothing will happen. Eitz HaTeva Kamash Shalom with all these things is take a picture of it and email it to yourself, and then you've got some kind of record for it. Not that you need it, but like I just said, but just as a safety net. The halacha is that the Chinuch brings down that Shmitzah Sofim applies bein ba'anoshim bein ba'noshim. It applies to women as well. So here we enter a slightly sensitive subject. Ladies, single ladies, whether that's ladies who have not got married, whether that's ladies who are no longer married, or whatever it may be, who are owed money for all the above reasons and examples that we've given, have the same halachas for Shmitzah Sofim as men do. Where it gets a bit more complicated is married women. Now, married women, whether a married woman has to have a prosbul written for her or write her own prosbul, will depend on whether the money is actually her own. Right? Now, this is a subject which is like I say, sometimes sensitive, both in shirim and in shalom bayis between couples, because not every husband who allows his wife to think that the money is her own, really in his mind, was ever actually mafkir his rights to it and lets her have it. The halacha is about it, if a husband and wife would agree that the husband's not paying any of the wife's bills and she's going to be self-sufficient, support herself, then that's absolutely fine. But that very, very rarely happens in such a way. So what sometimes happens is that women may earn money and their husbands may let their earnings go into their own account, and either they contribute towards household expenses from their account or they use it entirely for themselves, each family according to their own arrangements. Does that actually mean that the husband has said and intended that the money mamishes his wife's? Or no, shalom bayis, he lets her, you know, use that money, it's good for him, otherwise he'd have to spend that money for her. In any case, well, whatever it is, he doesn't want to go there anymore. You should know, this matter comes up in Negei Lalach, if chasson, a couple get divorced, and there might be assets sitting, you know, then whose are they really? If they were bought with wages that the wife earned during the marriage, does that mean that the husband had no right? I mean, din, the husband has rights to ma'aseh dam of his wife. So, this is just as a heads up, when there's a long queue of people waiting to write a prosbul, we don't really want to start going into the kishkas of a marriage to ascertain when a person says, do I have to write one for my wife or do I not have to write one for my wife? Well, that depends on your arrangements, and we don't really want to have this discussion here in public as to exactly how your arrangements are. But the halacha is, if the money belongs to the wife, that means, let's say the husband has said, these are your wages, it goes into your account, you can do with it whatever you want. Right? If that's the arrangement, then the money belongs to the wife. And if she's owed money, so for example, she could be owed money for services rendered, and she's invoiced for her services, she could have properties in her name with rents that come in, and they owe the rent, and they haven't yet paid it. In all of those cases, a woman needs a prosbul. Similarly too, if you have young working girls who may be owed their salaries, etc., they need a prosbul. They themselves either can come and have a prosbul written for them the same way that a man comes, or they can make a shliach. They can make their husbands or their sons or their fathers shluchim to have a prosbul written for them. Yesterday we had a person who came in, but shlichus for his entire kehila. He had the names of all of his mespallim. It was a Sfardi kehila, and therefore they wanted to be mapped on the mechaber to do it in front of a bezin. Kehillah Bezdin, by the whole killer couldn't necessarily come at the same time. So he had the names of all his mispanim. He was made a shliach by all of them, and he did it for them. You can do shlichas just when you come to do your prosbul. Then you have to let whoever's presiding over the prosbul. There's slightly different lashonos and shtoros which you use if you're doing it for yourself, or if you're doing it for yourself and b'shlichas for someone else. But 100% it can be done b'shlichas for someone else.
If the tenants are goyim, you don't have a problem.
If the tenants are goyim, you don't have a problem. Correct. Again, there are those places that say that someone who's got even, you know, some people might be thinking through everything and think, you know, I've got no reason why I have to write a prosbul. There are potential situations which are too long to go into in the few minutes I have left, and I still want to get through one other point. When a person has a check which he hasn't yet cashed before Rosh Hashanah, could that be a problem? Right? Are you allowed to then go and cash it after Rosh Hashanah? So that itself could be a reason to write a prosbul. Where it'll get more complicated is people who are taking checks the whole time, like in shops or other businesses, if they've already written a prosbul and then they take after that, unless the check's post-dated, in any case you can't put it in before Rosh Hashanah, there's shailas about that, exactly how to look at it. The halacha might be depend in England, and Eretz Yisrael might be different, so it's quite a complicated shaila. Another area is that some posts say that if you have a bank account in an Israeli bank, then if you have lent money, if you've deposited money in the bank, as you know, your money is not sitting in the bank, right? You've lent money to the bank and they use your money. So again, there are those who say that in such a case you need a prosbul even just for that. So there are many scenarios which you may not think of. There may be outstanding debts that person's forgotten. There's a shtarka inyan for everybody to write a prosbul. I'd like to just finish off with one nukuta. We've mentioned that Ba'etzem min HaTorah nowadays, at the moment, as it stands today, unless Mr. Shem something changes and Mashiach comes, as it stands today, Shmitas Ksofim this year is going to be Drabonon. And not only is it Drabonon, but everyone's going to act plausible, and Kimat nothing is going to happen, that actually is Meshamot, unless, like I said, the person leaves something to be Meshamot. But Ba'etzem, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Shmitas Ksofim, and the Chinuch and Tofai and Zayin brings down the reason. What's the rationale behind this mitzvah? And he says two different reasons. The first is, he says, Lam nafshein b'midus ha'mulis midas ha'nadivus v'ayin toiv v'nikva b'lvavenu ha'bitochen ha'godol b'shem Baruch Hu. It's the same concept that we find with Shmitas Karka, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, first of all, nadivus, to give to other people, but for a person to realize that their money is not their own. There's a Rabbeinu Shleilam. Same with the land. A person works on the land, he nourishes the land. This is his baby, this is everything. And then it comes along Shmita, and all of a sudden, it's Hefka, open the doors, and everyone trapes through your property, so we do what they want. I was once in the Eswick Paradise during Shmita, and Eswick Paradise, you have to treat so carefully everything. And I was watching that the farmer, see people come through his Paradise, and Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, there's no heter to damage someone's property during Shmita, but what was going on there, the Shem Mitzvah, of taking a soygim, and it's very hard. It's very hard. You have to open up your whole shus that you worked so carefully for the whole 6 years. But the Rebbeinu Shem is telling us that everything we have is better from the Rebbeinu Shem. Don't get too comfortable thinking everything you have is yours. No, it's from the Rebbeinu Shem, and he gives it, and he can take it, and he can give it back as well. And the same things with Shmitas Ksofim. There's another musik as well. We got nimtz mizeh gedeh chozot mechitza shol barzel nisrachik ma'oid min ha'gezel u'min ha'chemdo b'chol ha'shel re'enu. Says the Chinuch, there's a very strong message here coming to tell us that if on our own money, which we've lent to someone in good faith, doing a mitzvah in the Torah, not about with interest, nothing, I've done a straight halva money I worked very hard to earn, and I've now lent it to somebody else, and comes along the Torah and says, you don't get that money back. Sorry, Shmita's wiped it out. So Kal V'Chomer, says the Chinuch, it's interesting Kal V'Chomer, but says the Chinuch, Kal V'Chomer, when it comes to Gezel, or Chas V'Shalom, Chomos, where a person looks over what other people have and desires it, the Torah is telling you that keep your eyes into your own rishus and realize that everything's in the Rebbeinu Shlom. What he wants to give you, he gives you. And even what he's given you might not be permanent. And that's how a person has to lead their life. In today's day and age, we lead a life where many, many people spend most of the time looking over their shoulder at other people and the lifestyles they're having and the standards which they think they're having and the simcha and happiness which they think they have. Many people don't quite have the happy life that other people think they do. And this causes a lot of sorrows. Causes a lot of sorrows in Shalom Bayis, causes a lot of sorrows in town. People get very upset, get very depressed, get very low. When they think that they're not managing to hit the highs which they think those around them are having. The irony is, in Bezdin we get to see the people who are officially hitting the highs. And when it comes to people claiming money from them, they say, Amy, and you say, what do you mean? What about that big car you got in the car park of the Bezdin? They say, that's not mine. It's all, the whole thing's a bubble. But unfortunately, people don't realize that. Once every 7 years, we have a mitzvah deraisa, which nowadays we don't have a deraisa, but we have a zeichel adova, we have a drabonon, of Shmitas Ksofim. And says the chinuch, part of that mitzvah is to remind us to take stock. We don't need to look at what's going on by Yano. Look at what we have ourselves. And even when we have ourselves, we realize there are times when we have, and times when we don't, and times when we'll have again mitzvah Hashem. That's the derech ha'olam. The Kodesh Baruch is in control, he knows what he's doing. In the same way that we expect those farmers to have bitochen, that yes, right now you don't work during Shmita, and Mitzvah Shem after Shmita will be okay, right? The same way we should have the same hashkof of our own bank accounts. That sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it to go, say that, okay? There's the same Rebbeinu Shem that we want to look after. You should tell other people, you tell yourself to have bitochen more than you should be telling other people to have bitochen, right? If we look at other people the same way, we look at ourselves the same way, then Chodesh is a lesson which we learnt, and Mitzvah Shem, in 7 years' time, it should be in Eretz Yisrael, keeping Shmitas Karka Deraisa, keeping Shmitas Ksofim Deraisa. See you soon.